The PGA Tour presents the fusion of golf, music, sports, and entertainment. Golf Talk America, streaming live on PGATour.com. Follow us today and every day on Twitter at Golf Talk America. Now, the Golf Talk America crew.
And what a crew it is, everybody. We are live at the Marriott Sawgrass. Frank Bassett joining you along with Brendan Sweeney from the French Lick Resort, Diane Knox from Secret Golf, and a special guest to be announced in just a minute. It's Tuesday at the Players. We are absolutely thrilled to be here. The weather's gorgeous. It's warm. It's not the typical March weather that we have in Ponte Vedra Beach. So we'll see. The weather always changes in this part of the country this time of year, and we'll see if we can get that March Madness weather going again with the north wind and the cool temperatures to make this course extremely challenging. As I said, Brendan Sweeney from the French Lick Resort. Welcome,
good morning,
buddy.
Frank. How are you?
Good, pal. How are you?
Well recovered after a long
fun
day
night?
At Marsh Landing the other day.
Yeah.
My body has come back to shape.
Yeah, and then dinner at Ruth Chris. Had
yeah.
fun.
Ran into some folks last night.
Yeah, ran into some all sorts of folks, and over at your niece's house, we had a good time.
Yeah.
With
yeah.
a bunch of NBC people and tour people and all that, so that was fun.
Moving and shaking. I'll be moving down the road right after the show.
Absolutely.
Got a carpool line at 3 o'clock.
There you go. Tell so. Moo, give Moo a big hug and a kiss for me.
Big lacrosse game tonight, sweetie. Too. So.
Cool. Good luck to Moo. Diane Knox.
Good morning.
What's up?
How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm fantastic.
Secret golf.
Well, yeah. We got the team back together, alluding to our secret guest I'm not going to mention. But yeah. We had a great day yesterday, spent some time out on the course. And mm-hmm.
Except for our back lot being, our back gate being locked.
We have a secret gate that we used to access the course, and yesterday it was locked. Hopefully it will be open
yes.
today. We're spoiled. That is a
we are spoiled.
But
hey,
what's
wrong with
we
that?
Can walk in the normal gate like everyone else. We don't care, but the course I think is looking the best I've ever seen it look.
Lush.
We went
very
out
lush.
To 17, 16, 17, and 18 yesterday. Yeah. That was
it was lush,
spectacular.
It really was. The wind was blowing dead out of the south yesterday,
yep.
which was rare. So we'll see what happens. So Diane Knox, of course, is with Secret Golf.
Yes.
And part of Golf Talk America. Golf Talk America and Secret Golf are sisters, partners, brothers, whatever we want to say. And more to come on that as we get into this 2020 calendar season this year, heading toward the Masters. But Players Championships on the horizon, and the 1991 and 1997 winner of the Players Championship is sitting across the table from me, and I'm honored and pleased to have our good friend Steve Elkington with us. What's up, Steve?
I hear the claps. Yeah, great. Good morning, Frank.
How are you, buddy?
Good, thanks.
Good. It's good to have you.
Diane.
Now, you won in 91.
I'm not your biggest fan. I'm your only fan.
That's right.
You
That's
won in 91 by one stroke and 97 by six, right?
Something like that. Yeah. I think it was seven, but who's counting?
Well seven. The one stroke's a big deal. Yeah, man. So
I chipped in on 18 to
go to seven?
To go to seven.
Just to finish in style, you know?
Nothing like chipping in on 18.
There really isn't.
Oh, my goodness.
To win the Players' Championship. Yeah.
Steve is also the founder of Secret Golf, and which we'll get into that a little later, and SG Tour, which is a very interesting app that you can download, and we'll talk about that a little later. But right now, let's talk a little bit about your thoughts. You walked the course yesterday, checked it out, from a two-time champion of this tournament. What do you think?
Well, as you noted a few minutes ago, it's very lush, and... You know, as I recall in March, I was speaking to a couple of the caddies yesterday. We were talking about how this course currently is overseeded with ryegrass. And they didn't really used to do that back in the day. They used to leave that Bermuda-looking, scraggly rough that was so inconsistent to hit out of. And it could be a cosmetic feature that the tour is trying to keep it really lush and green-looking. Nonetheless, the tour is... had a pretty tough stretch the last 2 weeks with Honda and Bay Hill. The boys are beat up pretty good coming into here, and I don't think there's going to be much relief from scoring this week either. I think it's going to dry out. There's plenty of rough out here this week that's going to tangle up the club. And it's
is the rough as deep as it has been in the past? It doesn't look it to me, but your expertise.
It's not currently, but, you know, we are still...
Yeah, two days away.
Yeah, 2 days away. It'll probably go up another half inch.
Which will make a big difference.
Big difference,
ball
sure.
will sink on down. So right now it's kind of setting up. So,
But That being said, Frank, nobody does anything out of the rough here at Player. That's not the way you win this tournament. This is a precision course. A lot of people say that it suits everyone. I don't think so. It suits very little. It suits people that are real precise, that are real low, medium, high trajectories, that can make the ball spin and stop pin high. I mean, once you start playing all these shots that have to go across water, you know, there's a reason this course is a nightmare for the amateur. It's because you have to cross so many hazards. You have to, you know, negotiate your way, you know, around these little islands, and you got to make the ball stop.
It's my understanding is for amateurs, the halfway house here at TPC Sawgrass is the number one green grass seller of golf balls in the country.
Well, that doesn't surprise me.
No.
Particularly if you just played the back nine first.
Right. Oh, God. Exactly. You know, they had a problem. Honest to God, folks, they had a problem here years ago with a lot of the amateurs would go out to the range and get ready to play, and they'd load up their bag with range balls before they went out, and they had to just start monitoring that. It's a tough golf course. It's an intimidating as hell golf course for the average amateur. And it's probably pretty intimidating during tournament time, given the fact that you're playing for the biggest purse in golf when you come down the stretch on 16, 17, and 18 on Sunday.
When I qualified for this event, Frank, talking about intimidating, I think I won the Greater Greensboro Open in 90. So I think that was the first year that I got into the Players' Championship. And when I got here, it was very crowded that day. So I went over to the back nine to tee off first, and I walked onto the 10th hole, and I looked down that corridor of number 10, which is a very narrow hole, as you know. And I said to my caddy, I said, I don't think I can play this course. And he said, what are you talking about? You haven't even played a hole yet. And I said, it's so claustrophobic looking. You know, you don't ever get to feel like you can really, like, swing out here. And anyway, first year here, not so good, but, you know, managed to get over all that, and things turned out for the better for me. But
a year later.
Took forever. Yeah. It's a very, very claustrophobic place.
Yeah.
Well, that's what PGI does. I mean,
go ahead.
You have position golf, and it exposes your weaknesses. So if you get past that hurdle of seeing past the hazard, pretty wide open golf course.
No one knows more about it than the man himself over here from French Lick, which one of Dye's great courses that I haven't played. But
doors open.
Exactly. I'm just waiting for the offer to just go up just a little bit.
Please come.
Pretty please.
But no, Pete Dye, we're going to hear a lot about this week from the telecast, and maybe we won't. Maybe we're just going to hear it here. But Pete tries to take your eye on the tee. And he says, let's take number 18. Everybody knows what number 18 looks like here at the Players' Championship. Water all the way down the left. Pete famously wrote in an article that he wanted the water slapping up against the players' feet while they were on the tee.
Sure.
What do you do when you see the water down the left, Frank? Makes you go
right. What's over there?
What's worse?
Worse.
The big hill on the side.
Well, and the trees and the hills and everything. It's a tough way to aim. Yeah.
And that's his deal. Couple of legends walking by.
Yeah, a couple Kevin of legends Smith, walking by.
The Hawaiian Open champion right there.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, if you're courageous enough and you can get past the claustrophobic feel and the tricks that Dye does to you, and you are able to hit it down the water line, then, of course, there is big rewards to that. It opens it up.
Sure it does. Box and the green are both with water slapping up against the side. So it keeps you intimidated. Big thing that people talk about with this course, and I want to hear your thoughts, Steve, especially, is when you after 15, you go to 16, par 5, 16 starts narrowing it down, and when you get to your second shot on 16, you're already looking at the water on 17, the 16th green, which sets out as a peninsula into that same water hazard.
But you're going into a cathedral. I mean, that's where all the people are hanging
out,
too.
You are. You're going into
the lion's mouth.
Yeah. Gladiator. I mean, it's like a gladiator.
It's a very bottleneck feel when you come around that corner. You know, there's two holes here at this course, 16 and number 2. It's very unusual for Pete Dye, but he actually makes you hook the ball off 2 and 16. You have to curve it right to left on 16. Otherwise, you're not going to be in the fairway. I told Diane yesterday and my son Sam, who's with me, that I buckled when I had the lead, when I walked off 16, I was a young guy, obviously knew it was at stake for me, you know, with a 10-year exemption. I was thinking about the win, of course, but I was thinking about the 10-year exemption, because that's like money in the bank, right? If you're a young guy.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So I walked around the corner to go to 17. My legs buckled, and I caught myself. You know,
well,
I was
nerves.
Like, oh, dear.
Yeah, it's no longer a 10-year exemption, but it was
five
then.
Now,
it's
yeah.
five.
Five
but,
is still good,
but
isn't it?
In those days, it was the biggest purse too. I mean, the tour cranked it up, big money. Now it's just ridiculously crazy.
But even
wonderful.
When we were walking around the course yesterday. You know, for us, like, you walk up there as a spectator, as a golf fan, and you've seen the course a million times, you've watched it on TV, you know, maybe you've been there before, and it does take your breath away a little bit. And it gives you that kind of, like, anxious, nervy feeling, because it has to be very scary knowing that walking up to 16 green, you have 17 waiting for you.
17 is shocking. When you first see it,
yeah,
it's shocking, because it's only about 4,500 square feet, and that's a small number of square footage.
Right.
When you think of small greens, so, and the thing that makes so much stress for us, the players, is that everyone knows. It's listening to this. Everyone knows you could slightly toe your ball with a wedge, or toe it with an, or slightly thin it, and it literally can cost you the week. You know,
yeah.
If you go through there on a Thursday, and let's say you're even, and you make a double there. You know, go in the water, and now you're fighting to make the cut, because the cut, we know, the guys are so good, they all bunch together pretty tight. We can always, people say to me all the time, what's going to win? I don't know what's going to win, but I can probably tell you what's going to make the cut. It's always going to be round even, or one or two under. And,
sure.
And sometimes it's miraculous to me to think that 70 guys can go around this course under par,
mm-hmm. yeah.
for 2 days. But when you're on the tour, your main goal, a lot of people that are great, you know, Tiger Woods, I'm sure, doesn't think about the cut, but a lot of tour players think about, you know what, I got to get in the cut.
Yeah, got to get in the game.
Yeah.
You got to not slam the trunk. The other thing about number 17 that's been talked about again and again, and I want your opinion on this especially, is you don't see the water behind the green when you're on the tee box currently. There was talk of elevating that tee box, so now you see the water around and behind the green.
Yeah, who's the idiot that's just
Johnny
about
Miller.
Okay, well, maybe not an
look
idiot.
Look what he's doing
it
now.
It was Johnny. Yeah, what is Johnny doing
now? Not working
now. Azinger replaced him.
Well,
but that was his suggestion, and the same thing on 18, to move the tee on 18 over and up. So you play across the water, which really would make it easier on 18.
It does make it easier. The hardest tee shot is when it's what they did wrong at Pebble Beach was when they made the water at 18 at Pebble Beach out into the ocean. Now it's a much easier tee shot. It was much harder when the tee was set straight on a straight line like it is on 18 at TPC.
Yeah. It is. So Johnny Miller suggested that, and they've never done it, so obviously they're not going to take his advice.
So back in 97, your driving average was 255 yards. Last
on
year.
On this tournament?
Yeah.
Or on this tournament.
Yeah. For this tournament.
Yeah.
And then last year it was 311 yards by Rory McIlroy, 305 yards.
Yeah, so there's a reason that, he was 303 on this tournament?
Yeah, 305 yards was his
driving
distance average.
And well, no wonder he won.
You were 255.
Well, no wonder he won.
It's 60 yards difference.
And it was straight.
Yeah.
I mean, but Elkington is known for his precision play, too.
Well, this is not a course where you have to be long. You can play, as you're noting here, 250. What was it in 97?
97 was
you
255.
Have this your greasy, grubby fingertips just
yes.
so quickly.
And then in 291? In 91, it was 260.
So I put on 10 yards in 6 years.
So you lost five.
Oh, I lost five?
Yeah.
Damn.
Well,
but I won by seven.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Well, according to Frank, it was six, but
yeah.
who's counting?
Well, whatever. Yeah, who's counting?
Yeah. yeah.
Who's the idiot that suggested that?
I remember having I remember here I had a Cobra driver. For some reason, I've only ever used a Cobra driver. In fact, I have one now. But in 97, I had this crazy Cobra driver with a graphite shaft that was real new. And it just, all it did was produce a low fade. Couldn't play it on any other course. Couldn't play it at Champion, my home course, because most of the holes go right to left. But here, it went like a bullet with a five-yard fade.
So what'd you hit with in 98?
I don't know. That driver didn't make it for long.
It ended up in a hazard somewhere.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So we're talking with Steve Elkington, two-time champion of the Players' Championship, here live from the Marriott Sawgrass in Ponte Vedra Beach, Florida, overlooking TPC Sawgrass, along with Diane Knox.
Hello there.
The Secret Golf. And if you follow Diane, you know she's absolutely lovely as well as intelligent.
Of course.
And just gives us a lot of great insights because she has a brother that plays this game too.
Well, it's funny you mention that because I was just looking through our wonderful book of statistics.
Yes.
And was looking at the highest score ever recorded on the 17th hole.
Was by...
was it Bob Tway, like a 12?
Yeah, he had a 12.
Yeah, it was Bob Tway.
Yeah,
12,
I remember it. Yeah.
Russell is tied third in that category with a 9. But that's okay. I mean, you learn from these experiences, don't you, Elk? It's never going to always go right. So when something like that happens, you have to grow and move on.
Well, Russell Knox, I think we're hopeful to talk to him this week about it, but maybe we won't. Who knows? But he was near the lead in this event, and he spent... He made a 9 at 17, and it cost him the week.
Yeah,
exactly what I was talking about.
Yeah.
And that's the stress. Most players, if you ask them, what would you take if you just give me something. I won't hit a shot. They'd take it in that front bunker. Just to get past that hole, because the worst you can make there is 4.
I said to Russell, we talked about it. It was one of those things that you don't talk about for a while. And then when we did talk about it, it was actually only earlier this year. And he said, I just blacked out. I had no idea what I was doing. When the first one went in the water, he said, I was crushed. And then when the second one went in, he's like, I don't even remember what happened after that. Because I said, well, why didn't you go at the drop zone? Like, why did you keep hitting off the tee?
Went back to what he said a minute ago. He didn't know what he was doing.
Yeah, he said, I just blacked out.
That's
I had
when
no
the
idea.
Caddy needs to step in and say, yo, yeah. Russell, stop. What are you doing? Give me another ball. 10 cup.
Yeah, give me another ball. When I was there, lucky enough to win the tournament in 97, I think I had a big lead there, 6 shots, and I came to that hole, and I just wanted to get it on the green. You know, at that point, I was winning the tournament pretty handily, and people were leaving, which was making me feel better, that people were picking up trash because it was kind of over, and I'm like, you know, if I hit one in here, I could hit. That's how you feel. I could hit 5 in. So let me just hit land and get on with this thing.
That is the funniest story, that people were actually packing up. Like,
yeah,
they weren't just leaving the tournament. They were packing things up to get going so they could get home early.
I had a guy named Gypsy Grillo caddying for me, Gypsy Joe Grillo, and he was a big man and had a big arm swing and smoked a ton of cigarettes and also had asthma. So it was pretty interesting combination. So he used to smoke a cigarette on the odd holes and hit the inhaler on the even holes. So we were walking up number 9, and I think we had about a 4 or 5 shot lead, and someone in the crowd yelled out to, hey, Elk, I need you to make a triple bogey. I've got money on this other guy over here, and I need you to make a triple bogey. And I saw Gypsy take off from me to go over to the rope after this guy. And I said, Gypsy, get over here. We don't need to be fooling with this. And I started walking over there, and Gypsy's walking down the rope with his arms swinging like crazy. And he said, hey, pal, he goes, I see you're pretty excited over there. He says, I'm pretty excited over here. He says, why don't we, after this hole's over, why don't we meet up on the green and let's see who's the most excited?
Said, somebody was going swimming.
I said, Gypsy, get your ass back over here. We got stuff we got to do. Hey, okay, Oak, I'm just, you know, I said, hey.
I'm your guy.
Whatever.
I'm your guy.
What is the, I love your stories. So give us some more of the stories of the championship and some of the crazy things that occur that have occurred here at TPC Sawgrass.
Well, I mean, they're situational. You know, we'll have to talk some more before they pop out. But I remember back in the day when Jerry Pate.
Oh, yeah, first winner here.
With an orange ball and then threw the commissioner in the water.
And Pete.
And
died.
Pete. Yeah.
And Pete. What do you guys recall about that? They threw Pete right in the water.
Well, Jerry jumped in. And when he went in, they say he hit his shoulder on something under the water.
Right, mountain of
and
golf
that's
balls.
That's what he said. Yeah, probably mountain of golf balls, yeah. But they said he hurt himself doing that.
Did he
injured
really?
His shoulder, yeah. So I was here for that first tournament, and every tournament since. This is, again, my favorite tournament of the year.
Was it in 89? I think Kite won it when that dude jumped in the water.
That was Sandy Lyle. Sandy Lyle, Jeff Sluman.
Yeah, yes. That was Sluman. That was a Florida State cheerleader.
No, I know the dude that did it.
Really?
It was a
playoff.
It was in Orlando.
It was a playoff, and they got back to 17, as I recall, and Sluman had a putt.
Yep, he was over to putt.
And a guy dove in the water, right, on
yep.
the island course.
Yeah.
Would they just machine gun that guy now if someone did that today? Would
probably.
They probably have
probably
he's
just
a. He's a very, very successful business person in Orlando.
Well, the guy that jumped in the water.
Yeah.
He probably
really?
Doesn't want that story told on the air.
Well, too bad.
Too bad. You know, what's his name?
His first name's Hal.
Okay. We can't go any further than that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
He's partnered.
What's his, do you have his phone number? What company does he own?
Actually, I do have his
Why
phone
did
number.
He
Let's
do
give
it?
Out his phone number.
He was hammered.
Okay.
they were there all day long, and they're just drinking beers. Next thing you know, he's in the water.
Well, this tournament.
He did it for a bet.
I was going to say, was there any money on the line?
Yeah.
This tournament used to be, when it first started, it was sort of like the biggest party of the year.
Oh, spring
Jacksonville.
Break, too. Yeah.
It was spring break, basically. And it was a huge party with bands every night, and the Island Club was always so raucous that on number 9, you could hear the party going on at the Island Club. If you remember in the old days, Steve, y'all complained about it and said, you need to, it's too loud.
Got him right here.
Which, yeah, there's his name.
Well, John Daly, remember, he had issues here. Didn't he throw all the furniture out of the second story of
right here
at the Marriott onto his courtesy car?
Yes, he did.
That's why the window's only open this much.
This much is about 6 inches.
Here. Yeah,
I thought. I remember someone coming in the locker room and saying something about that, and they
he
were
did,
like, "Oh
yeah.
my God, John Daly, you know, went off and threw his whole TV onto the courtesy car down below." And I thought it was the funniest thing I ever heard in my life.
That's good.
John's a funny guy.
Who were some classic locker room freakout dudes?
You
don't want to throw anybody under the bus.
No, I'm not going to do that today. But the locker room is
that's hallowed ground.
Yeah, exactly. A place of
solace.
Refuge, you know.
But, refuge.
Times have changed, you know. You know, the guys now are they're. It's a different set of
surrounded.
Set of, different group, you know. They're surrounded with people, and I've seen plenty of belts of whiskey in the locker room when guys have walked off the course and
not happy.
Well, you look at the entourages that. Or at the range. You know, you have one player with seven people surrounded him. Back in your day, it was just you and the caddy, wasn't it?
I didn't want anyone around me. In fact, sometimes I would tell Bill, don't talk to me today. That's a rule. That's a day rule. I don't want to hear from you today.
Oh, geez.
Sounds like home.
We saw Bryson DeChambeau at Riviera last month, and then we saw him yesterday as well, and he's one of these guys that always has a team around him.
Oh,
always has a lot of people.
And he has
maybe
more computing
just,
power.
But too. Maybe like they just don't like being alone. There's that. Maybe it's you know, just that kind of comfort factor of having people around you that you can bounce ideas off and talk to.
Well, when people are slapping in the back saying great job all the time, it's hard to get rid of.
But
Bryson DeChambeau, we know this. Last year, you and I were on the range watching Bryson hit. We were talking to, I guess, was it?
Jason Duffner, I think.
Well, it was Duff. You were talking to Duff. And also
Andrew Landry.
And Bryson was next to us, and they all just turned and looked at him. And he had three computers around him, guys pouring water out of a bottle of water onto the ball before he would hit it to see what the effect was. Two or three cameras at every angle on him. I just don't know how. That's him. It works for him. And God bless his heart. That's great. There's no way that level of analytics, you know, I couldn't deal with it. I'd locked up, I wouldn't be able to pull the club back.
Yeah, no, well, that's true, and I think he's good for our game. He adds another dimension to people that can follow along and try to untangle that kind of data. And I had a good talk with him at the LA. He pulled me up and asked me about a few things we were talking. So he's big right now.
He's bulky.
He doesn't even look like him. Like, I see him sometimes, and I'm like, is that Bryson? I'm almost looking for, like, the gear to make sure that it's definitely the right person, you know?
Yeah.
He muscled that ball of 18 out of the right rough over that water and made birdie on Sunday. You see that shot?
Absolutely.
It was unreal.
Through that thick rough was thick as well, too.
Yeah.
Unbelievable. There you go. We're talking to Steve Elkington. I've got to reset it real quick. 91 and 97 champion of the Players' Championship, the old TPC days. And Diane Knox from Secret Golf.
Hello there.
So Diane, jump in here. We've talked over you the whole show. I know you have some questions.
That's okay. I mean, one of the questions I was going to ask Elk is, and it's a question that we're going to be joined by all of our secret golfers, and we have 12 of them in the field, and it's one question that we always ask them, but what does it take? What sort of player is going to go out and do well on this course, especially this week in these conditions?
Yeah, well, what is it going to take that particular player to do well, you know? I was talking to your brother's caddy, who's coming back with him this week.
Yeah, that's an interesting story.
The new
in
guy.
Itself.
Yeah, new guy.
The new guy.
New guy, but an old tour caddy.
New old guy.
And he was talking about how good Russell Knox could fade the ball off the tee at the Players' Championship and keep it in play. And that was my theory here. I played the ball left to right. Slight. When I say left to right, I'm talking a couple yards. You know, it's just
sure.
There's, in the pro game, there's a fade shot, but there's a fade shot that has no chance of going left.
Okay.
And that's more or less what I play. You know, I might hit a straight one and say, well, that wasn't a fade. Yeah, but it's not going left. So, and, you know, the old Jimmy Demerit rule was if you fade the ball or you move the ball one way or the other, if you hit it, if you aim right down the middle with a shot and you fade it, you're only hitting into half the fairway. But if you have a fade and you aim it down the left side, you can fade it into the whole part of the fairway. So your fairway is much wider. So that was a preferred move for me. Now, I said earlier there's two shots you had to draw, and I played a three wood. I even played a two iron on number two. I'm going to get it round that corner. Mm-hmm. For some reason, this hole, number two, messes with players more than any other hole on this course off the tee.
To me, it's always been so tight. When you look at it just visually, it's tight. You've just got to thread a needle.
You got to make it go right to left.
Yeah, absolutely.
Unless you're going to hit a five iron.
Yeah.
You know.
And it's a par five. So.
Par five.
Yeah, so you've got some struggles. Go ahead.
The other thing here, and kind of looking at the stats from the past winners, it's the category that the past champions have really kind of been in, you know, the top five for a lot of the time, but it's greens and regulation. How important is it to hit the greens here?
Well, it's everything because I haven't gone through. I could do it real quick in my mind, but there's probably about 14 shots that have to negotiate hazards around the greens here, I think, on second shot. That's a lot.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's a lot of action. That's a lot of problems.
Yeah.
And so, of course, one would conclude that if you're on the green all the time and you're hitting the ball, that's going to be better. But what does that mean? What does it mean to hit greens in reg? And the guys that have been good at it, I was good at it, you have to have a fair amount of spin on your ball because you want that ball to stop.
Mm-hmm.
Preferred flight was straight or left to right, so it has more spin on it. But you have to have an attitude about that I am going to hit the green, so I'm not going to shoot at the corners. I'm going to shoot more towards the center of the green, and I'm going to putt back to the corners with my approach. So there is a mindset that goes with, like, so many guys or so many people think of just making a really good swing, and that's going to produce the shot I want. But there's also an accompanying mindset that I'm going to get on this green.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to play it a little safer. Now, as the confidence grows and you put a lot of greens in reg in the bank and you're hitting it well, then you can start to move towards the corners.
Okay.
And that's when you're going to win.
Well, when we were walking the course yesterday, we were on 17 and we met a caddy that you know well. We met an ex-player and we were all talking about what the strategy is on 17 and what part of the green that you would want that ball to be on. And one of the guys had said, you know, I was just going for the middle of the green every time on 17. Just go for the middle, that's it.
Yeah. So I was a little different on 17. I took the back edge yardage, 153, I think the caddy said yesterday. And I thought about hitting a club that couldn't go 153, whatever it was that day.
Exactly.
The problem what happens on that hole is the guys will go, you've got 120 to the front. And the pin's on 10, 130. But if you miss hit the 120, it's in the lake.
Yep.
Now,
yeah.
For me, my theory was if it's 152 and I'm playing to 145, if I miss hit it, I'm still going to get over the 120.
Sure.
But then how much is adrenaline going to play a part in that too?
A lot.
A ton.
That's experience.
Yeah.
We saw who was the player that flew it over the green under pressure into the water when a few years back and lost the tournament, kid from Philadelphia.
I can't remember.
It was a year.
It'll come to you. But
yeah.
While you're thinking about that, Ricky Fowler in the playoff, and when they went through, he, you know, what did he birdie 17 three times?
Yeah, he was.
Yeah, but when he won it, he put his, you know, the front right pin placement, the Sunday placement on 17, he twice put the ball just in a
right
spot that you
right
never,
of the flag.
Right of the flag.
Yeah,
you never go there. That had to be a mishit.
It's like impossible looking when you go to the tee. But that being said, I remember Cal Pete, when he won here, he had a 7-iron over there. The tee was further back, as much as people hate to say it, that we played it longer. But there's yardage books to prove it. They've got grandstands there now where we used to play it. Cal Pete hit a 7-iron to a foot there when he won. Yeah. And then Hal Sutton, one of the years, hit a 7-iron to a foot when he won it over there. I just couldn't even believe it.
Watch that kid yesterday hit a sandwich.
Yeah, I couldn't believe when I saw those guys hit the shot.
Actually, was it a sandwich or a lob wedge he hit?
Sandwich.
Was it?
No.
Now, there's a guy that should be talked about.
Cal Pete?
Was made for this course.
Oh, what a great man, too. He was
same
a great
with, same
fella.
With Tom Kite.
Yeah.
Just down the middle. Like, Cal Pete was the straightest hitter we had on the tour back then. I think he was something around 85% fairways hit.
Oh, something crazy. When Tom Kite won this tournament, he had never won a major. And he won this. He came and visited with all of us in those days. I was the hole captain on number 15. And so he came to the volunteer party afterwards. And you have a great story about the volunteer party we should tell.
Oh.
But I asked him, I said, so Tom, what do you think? What do you think about this tournament? Is it really a major? He said, to me, it's a major. I'll tell you right now. And I think it is.
It's the strongest field in golf.
It's the strongest field. It opens up the major season, and it's just the first true test with the best field of golf.
The only way to guys that really know if it's a major is ask guys like Tom Kite that have won the U.S. Open and this one and ask them if it feels like that and what it took to do it. That's the only ones that really mean anything to me.
Yeah, and at the time he had not. This was his first big tournament that he had won. And because they talked about Tom Kite forever as the best player to have never won a major like they do, and Kite was just Mr. Consistent. He just always made the cut.
Well, he hit it straight. His game was built for accuracy.
Yeah, absolutely.
The thing about Kite and Cal Pete and even a guy like Matt Kuchar, they're not inclined to change their games. Mm-hmm. And I'm not going down a road here with guys, but I see a lot of tour players that'll want to change. They're going for more distance. You see that a lot, and I try to tell our players, don't fall for the trap. Take what you got and polish that thing like a pair of leather shoes and go on down the road with that polished shoe.
Yeah.
Don't fall in the trap of trying to get something you don't own.
How do you balance that trade-off between distance and accuracy then, especially on a course like this when it's not vital that you're a long hitter? Accuracy is going to be more important. But those guys that are going for more distance right now, like, that is a significant trade-off.
Well, I remember playing with Tiger Woods one of the first times. I saw him hit a 2-iron, you know, as high as I could hit my wedge. And I'm like, oh, my God, I've got to learn how to hit a 2-iron. And then I went and tried it. And I was like, you know what? I was taught to hit a 2-iron low. You know, to run it up and to see a different looking shot. So when you think of the 16th hole here and we're both, let's say Tiger Woods and I are both back in the middle of the fairway and he's got a 2-iron and he takes it higher than the Empire State Building and drives it onto that green, I'm going low. I got to go low and run it up the left side. And that's the reality of it.
Yeah.
And run the risk of that tree that's guarding it and the pop bunkers.
I don't have that shot. I've always told people that the hardest shot in golf would be to hit a high long iron. But I'd also say the easiest shot in golf is to hit a low long iron. So hit a low long iron. That's my
tip. Why make it tough?
What about Tiger? We need to mention it because it's kind of funny the fact that he's not playing this week and we're not really talking about him because this time last year we were all about Tiger.
Oh, yeah.
Looking to defend at the Masters next month and not playing the Players because of his back. I mean, it's worrying.
Yeah, I think one of the things that we don't know for sure is we don't know what's wrong with him. We'll never know. We never have.
No.
I mean, you know, it could be his pinky finger. We don't know, right? You know, you can put out a blanket statement, which he always has. But the one thing that this skip tells me, and it's so clear, that is, he's put all of his eggs into Jack's record. And he is going to try to be ready for these big four. He knows that he's got whatever's left. He's going for the 18 majors.
Yeah. And he's sitting on Snead right now at 82.
I don't think that's his focus. I think it's a focus. But
on 18. He's focused on 18.
I think so. It's very clear that he is not doing anything to jeopardize the fact that he's going to be 100% for him when he goes into the four this year.
Well,
that's what I got.
It'll be interesting next month in Augusta, that's for sure.
How many events does he have to play in the season?
He doesn't play as many as he wants. I mean, you only have to play 15 events to activate your retirement.
Uh-huh.
That's not a worry.
Yeah.
and you have to play 15 events to be an active voting member. I don't think that's a matter because if he wants to tell them to do something, they'll do it anyway.
Yeah.
When can I land?
So I don't think those two,
that would be Tiger Woods.
Those two apply to him. So.
Yeah, well, there's, you know, a lot of the players are they're not – usually this part of the week at day-in and day-out PGA Tour events, the players are in the hotel, and we see them all the time, and everybody's laughing and joking and backflapping. Not this week. This is a serious week for these fellows, and they're all business. They're all
a lot of money.
A lot of money.
There's a money. The money this week here. There'll be a champion crowned, and there'll be a 5-year exemption and points. Blah 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 blah. But there's so much money.
2.7.
Yeah, this can make you a year as far as you know. Like when I won here in 91, it was 288. That was a big number in 91.
Yeah.
And then it was like 688 in 90. That was a huge number in 97. And what's it going to be this week?
2.7.
2.7 to the winner?
Yeah.
But even last week,
2.7?
What? Arnold Palmer Invitational.
Did you just say 2? Wait a second. Hold on. Did you just say
2.3?
2.3. Yeah.
2.
Yeah, give or take 400,000.
3?
Yep.
But
that's
last week,
season.
Secret Golf's Mark Leishman finished second at Bay Hill and won over $1 million. Over $1 million.
Well, for a second.
When we see Mark, we'll try to. I need to borrow a couple hundred thousand until my jumbo CD rolls over.
Not a good day for that.
No, you're right. It's not a good day for that either.
Is it buy low, sell high?
Again, we're with Steve Elkington for the whole show. Just having a great time with him. He's a dear friend and one of the best golfers that's ever walked up on a tee box.
But he's got a great product he's going to be pushing out there as well.
And that's what I want to go to right now.
Yep.
Is let's talk a little bit about the new app.
Well, the app's been out, you know, SG Tour, Secret Golf is
the new version.
Yep. But we when Diane and I, you know, Diane's the voice of Secret Golf, and one of our old time caddy right there just came by. There he is, Eric. I lost my train of thought, Diane. You take over for a second. Big Eric.
Okay.
Big Eric just threw me off.
Well,
Big
Eric. SG Tour, we were talking about
Eric's
it yesterday on the show. And it's when you first told me about it, I remember when you first came up with the idea, it was like, you know, you get guys that are in the locker room, like you'll go out and play with your group and you'll be talking about the PGA Tour and you'll be saying like, oh yeah, I think this guy's going to do well. Oh, let's put a bit of money on that, whatever. And it's these little like games that you would play with your friends. We made that into an app. Following the PGA Tour, and you can go in and you can make up your four-ball team. You can pick the guys that you think are going to do well, and you can follow the leaderboard, follow the action on the app. That's just for starters. We've got a lot of other features, one of which we're going to talk about because it's a new feature and it's brilliant if you're at the tournament and following along. But I mean, it's so fun, and I can't watch golf without using the SG Tour app now because I want to know where I am in the game and I want to follow the leaderboard at the same time. So it's brilliant.
We have a new game that we're opening today. It's called Money Grabber.
Money Grabber.
Money Grabber.
So that's my ex-wife. Sorry, go ahead.
We named her after that, yeah.
Well, because you could have named her the other thing.
Yeah. Truck
that's
Slammer?
Enough.
Truck Slammer? No. She can't be Truck Slammer.
No. Oh gosh. I'm
unsyllable.
Sorry. First word.
Sounds like.
Yeah. So fantasy golf, it doesn't appeal to me, and it doesn't appeal to a lot of golfers out there. It's a very weird set of rules to play fantasy golf. It's kind of blossomed out of nowhere where we have a salary cap and you pick. See, have you ever played fantasy golf?
I don't like it.
It's impossible.
Yeah.
So we designed some very unique games that were golf-orientated. The one we did today, this Saturday, is called Money Grabber. And you pick four players from the world rankings, A, B, C, and D. They're all by world ranking, and that's your team. We are going to have a rolling leaderboard during the week in your team that tells you how much money they're approximately going to make for the week combined. Now, obviously the way to win this game is to have four guys going to make the cut. They're going to make money because it's going to squish together and make a big number. But the reason people like this game in practice we've been doing is you can have three guys that tank it and still have the winner of the tournament and win the whole game. So that's Money Grabber. Very simple game.
2.7 million.
2.7 million this week.
Is it 2.7 now?
Yeah, it's a $15 million
I love that it took you that long to find the number.
I just wanted to make sure. So.
We lost Brendan for a while. We wondered where
you were. That's good.
Yeah.
But
that's a big number.
Jay Kaplan, that works for Secret Golf too, he's always been very big into fantasy sports, like all type of sports. So we always have a little bit of a fun game when it comes to picking our teams because it's four tiers and they're based on the official world golf rankings.
Yep.
So you have to pick a guy from A, B, C, and D. And I talked to Elk about this as well. When you get to C and D, it's kind of tricky to make your picks sometimes.
We're going to add some data for that. I picked some statistics recently. I've pulled a bunch of stats and we're going to put into the player's profile so you can make a decision based on that, Diane. But we have another exciting, we have other features in there. You know, the app, when I played the tour, there was always a couple of things that people wanted to know about me when I was playing. One, they wanted to know how far I was from the hole. They wanted to know what club I'm hitting.
Right.
They wanted to know, what did that putt do? So guess what? We added some game. We added some fan engagement into our app. So you can actually, if you're on site this week, we have the course, the map of the course, and we have a live GPS that rolls with you. So if you're walking along, the GPS counts down. So if you're in the, Diane's following her brother, she'll know he's 152 to the front, 158 to the middle.
I'm like, I love that because I'm just such a geek when it comes to yardages and the right club and seeing what other people are hitting. So you can follow along. It'll tell you exactly the yardage they have, and then you can watch to see what they're hitting.
And the fly, tell us about the flyover feature, too.
Flyover feature just is a strategy. So, you know, it has all 18 holes in there. All of our tour players have done voiceovers of how to play these holes. So we have them on green screen. So we can add that into the app so that if you're out on the golf course and Brendan hasn't been on the hole 14, you can open that up and there's a voiceover of, you know, Mark Leishman telling you how to play the 14th hole and showing you where you got to hit this shot. So, you know, to me, the phone has been way behind on golf. Really the only thing for years that we've ever been able to do on the phone with golf is just as check scores.
Right.
Now, I believe you should be able to know how to play the hole.
Sure.
We have a thing called a putt predictor, which shows these 18 holes in there, and we set the pin in the app
where the pin is.
And then you move the ball with your finger. You're sitting there on the back of the 17th green, Frank, and here comes Russell Knox, and he hits it over on the left side where Tiger did. Like, and you move the ball where you approximately think it is, and hit select. It's going to give you the read.
You do this for every week?
Can we do this for my home club so I can start putting better?
This is awesome, man.
Isn't that incredible?
It's Oh, yeah.
Well, the great thing is, like, I need to get one of these what do you call the yardage things?
GPS.
Yeah, well, no, like, if
no,
you're
the
on
range
the
finder.
Range finder.
Yeah.
I'm like, why can I not
what?
Remember that?
It's called the caddy replacement system.
Yeah, if I have this
caddy replacement system.
But it's perfect. And the good thing for me is sometimes I'm not very good at, like, saying, oh, this is approximately 150. So at least with the app, I feel like I'm learning as I go.
I use my range finder religiously.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah, I need one. Like, I've got many reasons why I'm bad at golf still, and that is up there that I do not know why.
Oh, dude, to get you a range finder.
Okay.
This putt predictor is outstanding.
It is. Well, great. Yeah. Thank you for rejoining the show.
Well, he's having too much fun.
He's playing with the app.
Exactly.
He's playing with the app over here. How do we get the app?
SG Tour. SG Tiny Space Tour. That's an Apple thing. So it's Secret Golf Tour, but SG Tour in the App Store.
Everybody ought to download that thing, especially this week with this golf course and as famous as this golf course is.
We have some public games open in there right now. $10. We have some $1. We even have free games in there. Go in. You can play for free if you want this week. Pick four.
A, B, C, D.
Yep, and see if you can squish your money together and win that game.
Just got to make the cut. That's all we got to do.
Well, the great thing about Money Grabber is we make a cut. So the way I design these games is there's 144 guys playing this week.
Right.
We only let 144 into one of our games. Same as the tour. And if you make the cut in your game, if you're in the top 65 and you're a gamer, you make the cut, everyone else is out, and you guys split all the money.
Nice.
We'll be
talking on Monday.
And we do the same payout as the tour. We do 18% to the winning purse. And all the way down. So if you make the cut, you're in the money.
Great. So,
it's exactly
2.7
the same format.
And
no, it's not 2.7.
It's the cut per game.
Yeah, you can pick how many dollars you want to invest in.
I'm in for 10. I did the $10.
Invest
well,
in entertainment's what it is.
Yeah. And yeah. Brendan, yesterday you were talking about this other kind of like thing that you're playing in where you have to pick 10 guys.
10 guys, combine money for all.
That was
four
difficult.
Four is fun, and especially because it's the four tiers, so you have to pick from each tier. And so they all laugh at me because I pick with my heart all the time.
She does.
I know. I can't help it.
It's like, a logistics thing.
I can't help
it. Who else would pick Bud Collie but me?
Well, I pick Matt every week. It's a running joke. Matt Every, because remember we spoke to him at Riviera. Yes. I pick him every week, and they all laugh at me because they're like, "You're jinxing him. Do you realize that?"
But look what you did to him last week, for God's sake.
And I picked him.
I have a friend that lives on number 14 at Riviera. I should have sent you up to his door.
Oh, okay.
He would have enjoyed meeting that man. Incredible person. Riviera, again, Steve Elkington won the PGA Championship on Riviera.
Are you just highlighting my victories today, Frank?
I am. This is a Steve Elkington show today. So tell us about that PGA Championship at Riviera.
Well, you know, everyone, we just saw PGA. We just saw the tournament at Riviera. It's, you know, it's one of the great iconic courses there is. And, of course, it's played on Kaikuya, which is what I grew up on in Australia. That's a certain type of grass. We're on a different kind of grass this week. In fact, I must say I'm not moving away from Riviera, but a lot of people are happy to get off the West Coast back onto Bermuda greens.
Sure, smoother.
Because, it's not all the same for these guys. When I think about a guy like Jason Duffner, who's one of our guys, who's a supreme sport ball striker, and I'm even going to tell you, I've picked him as my, I think Duff's a D this week, a D player.
What?
Yeah, he's like 250th ranked player in the world. So I got, there's a pick for you. There is a pick if you're listening, that Duff is a D. I think he finished third. Remember he missed a tiddler on 18?
Yes.
He missed one from like a foot. This course is a great course for Duff because he is all about precision.
Well, last year when you and I were standing behind him and talking to him on the range, he talk about a ball striker. It was phenomenal to watch him and Landry both beside each other. I said, how can Landry not go out there and just take it home? Because he's also a great ball striker.
Yeah, Landry's, you know, already won this year at the Bob Hope Classic. And
I was happy to see that. Yeah.
Yep. So he works with our friend Chuck Cook. He's one of our guys. So we have 33 of our on staff now that add content to this app. So we have a lot of content that goes into it. We're proud to say, Frank, that that we're the only sort of gaming fan experience app out there that has a bunch of tour content in it. We're the only ones that do that. I mean, no one else has that kind
of
content.
And let's don't veer too far, but let's don't leave the ladies out because you have secret golfer ladies, LPGA players.
I have some of the best. I have seven of the best lady players there is.
Yeah.
They're coming to Champions for the U.S. Open in May.
Can you get us in the clubhouse there?
Yeah, I
can. I think so.
In the clubhouse.
You'll have to be carrying a bag, though.
Well, that's okay. I'll loop for whomever. It doesn't matter. He's a member, I should say, of Champions Golf Club, where Jackie Burke is out of, one of the icons of this game. And it's so much fun to go to secretgolf.com and see Steve Elkington talking with Jackie Burke about how to hit shots and what to do and strategy.
Out of all of our players, he's still the most popular videos that we have. I mean, we have about 400 videos of Jackie Burke and talking about how he did it, and they're still our most popular videos.
And we put them all on our social media as well. So
yes.
We have Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, Secret Golf for all of them. So if you follow along there, we put videos and content and podcasts, everything up there. We keep a lot of it.
Well, we are certainly proud to, as Golf Talk America, to be friends with Secret Golf and partners with Secret Golf and SecretGolf.com and SG Tour, the app, and Diane, Steve, Jay, I mean, all the folks.
We have a good time together.
We have a good time together.
Sam's over there somewhere.
Where's Sam?
There he is.
Sam Elkington.
Sam came up. He's here with you, Elk, for a father-son trip, but he said, Diane, I'm going to do some research and help you with your interviews today. I'm like, great. So we're putting him to work.
But how's Sam's game? I mean, he's a hell of a ball striker.
He can move it. He loves golf, and, you know, he's about to graduate from University of Houston, so that'll be, you know, a bonus for me and his mother.
I got two in college right now.
So. Yeah, I certainly understand that. Mine are out of college, and so I'm thrilled with that. Steve Elkington, it's always a pleasure to have you and to see you. I love seeing you and love being around. And
likewise.
Having a cocktail or two together and laughing and get off. Diane Knox, always exciting to see you.
Thank you.
Your family, your lovely mother and father are fabulous.
We met mom yesterday.
Yep.
Talked to mom yesterday. So
she volunteers on the range for the players. So
Brendan,
we'll go
I see
her
Brendan
today.
Over here picking his team, and I'm spying his team. So you can't see anyone else's
team.
You can't see anyone's team until the shot. It has a shot clock, like a bomb clock.
Yeah.
When the bomb clock goes off, and there's no more time left, the game switches to scoring, and then I can go in and see Brendan's team.
One day, 21 hours and 8 minutes away.
Did you pick Jason Day on your team?
Bomb clock.
He withdrew.
Did he withdraw?
Did he?
He did.
Already?
Yes, he's withdrawn. He's
really?
Back.
Yeah. I didn't know.
Well, I talked to him. Remember, I walked in the locker room at Bay Hill, and he walked in, and I turned and looked, and he was just grimacing in Bay Hill.
Because I saw his family here yesterday, so I thought, oh, he's definitely playing.
Yeah, I just saw that. Well, I hope I didn't dream it, and I've just thrown him under the bus, but I believe he withdrew.
His bus is probably parked in the back here.
His bus is right here.
So that has to be, like, awful when you've won a tournament before, and a tournament of this stature, and then to be forced to withdraw.
Well, better withdraw and take care of yourself than come 100%. Out and further injury.
Yeah.
So, Brendan Sweeney.
Frank Bassett.
Parting thoughts.
I'm hitting 95. I'm going to make the pickup line at St. James School in no time at all. Thanks for everything. Had a great week.
Always fun.
Always good seeing you. We're looking forward to a great week. And
we're looking forward to a great week, and let's plug it right now. We'll be on the course along with Foltzy and the crew. Tell
Mark
us about Lye that.
And Brian Hammonds, August 1st.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. We're doing the ladies'
senior LPGA championship.
At French Lake.
Yeah, gotta come on up.
Come on, have to come up for that.
Come up for that.
That'll be a hoot.
It'll be a blast. You can do. There. He can do some analyst with some analyst work with us.
We got Louisville's right around. We have a lot of bourbon right there.
Who can analyze more than me? Diane can.
Diane can.
Well, Dr. Ruth's going to be there, too.
I don't know.
So, anyway.
Yeah, but we appreciate your support. It's been a great partnership for the last few years. Looking for a couple more. So
I hope so. French Lick is a very we appreciate the sponsorship that French Lick has given this show all these years.
And we're looking forward to March Madness at the casino. So.
Yeah, that's right. And you have a sports book at your casino now.
BetRivers.com. If you're inside the great walls of Indiana, you can just go to BetRivers.com and place your bets right there.
And you can hide out deep in the heart of the Hoosier National Forest if you don't pay your bookie.
Absolutely.
So there you go. Diane Knox from Secret Golf and from the Knox family. Give Russell our best.
From the Knox family. Yeah.
Yes.
Can't do anything about that.
Give Russell our best.
I will. We'll be catching up with him a little bit
and
later.
We'll look forward to the interviews on secretgolf.com.
For sure.
We'll be sharing those interviews back and forth between the two organizations. You'll be able to catch Golf Talk America on secretgolf.com, too. So go there and check out some of the stuff that we're doing along with Secret Golf. So it's fun. Elk, as always, pal.
Thank you, Frank.
And Sam, buddy, it's good to see you, pal.
Get that resume sharpened up.
He doesn't need a resume. He doesn't need a resume. It's been a fun week. Live from the Marriott Sawgrass. We're just getting started. So for Tim Matthews, who's not with us, for Brendan Sweeney, for Diane Knox, for Jay, for Sam, for Steve Elkington, our featured guest today on Golf Talk America, we are out.